Today we're going to be talking about this place of recognizing the Holy Spirit's voice. Now don't freak out on the voice. It's not like he's David, I'm the Holy Spirit. It's communication. We're using the word voice, but he communicates with us in a way that we can understand and speaks to us and recognize his voice and his presence. Voice and presence, kind of interesting way, because you can recognize that of God. You can recognize his spirit. And so, you know, every once in a while we forget and we leave that door open over there, right? And because you guys are such quiet people when you're not in here, we hear you, right? And so sometimes we hear this roar of the crowd out there. And I could say that, you know, I could be here and if Morgan Freeman was out there, okay, I would actually be able to recognize his voice. I would say, Morgan, you know, I spot you because he has that distinct voice, right? Because I know him. I've watched all his movies, right? And you probably would recognize him too. I say, he's out there, right? But also, if my wife is out there talking, I'd say, oh, my wife Debbie, she's out there. I can hear her. And I'd recognize her. And the thing is that I don't know Morgan, but I do know Debbie. And why is that? I can still recognize both their voices, but one I know and one I don't. And the difference is right, I've been in Debbie's presence for, you know, over 37 years in pretty close proximity. And the other thing about that is that we've been talking a lot for 37 years, right? She talks a little more than I do, but not much. We talk back and forth, right? And I recognize her voice. And the thing about it is that I could actually recognize her voice and actually be in her presence, but if I didn't interact with her, which would not be good, but if I didn't interact with her and didn't interchange with her, didn't respond to her, I wouldn't know Debbie. But I know Debbie. So when I hear her voice, I know who Debbie is. I recognize her presence. I can spot it. And it's because I've been around her and I've also interacted with her over these years. Now, when we talk about recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit in his presence, in John 14, which I encourage you to read over that chapter, just maybe in your devotional times, it has a lot in there we can't get to. But in John 14, basically Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. And they go, no, don't leave, you know. And it's a good leave. No, they didn't believe that. They couldn't understand what he's even talking about before his crucifixion and resurrection. But he knew he was going to be leaving the earth. And so he's preparing his disciples. And so they're not doing very well. But part of what he says is that on that day, speaking of the day that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. Down in 23, it says, Jesus replied again, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Now, as you think about that, it's this understanding for me that you see that first part of it saying, if you engage me, if you begin responding and obeying me, that then I'm going to come in on that and I'm going to come in and let you get to know me, right? I'm going to show myself to you. I'm going to actually make residence in you. Right? That's pretty personal. You know, when I became a Christian, it was really a moment in which I was very young. But I had this moment, and it literally, I didn't have any words for this, and the church didn't have any words for this, but the Holy Spirit actually fell on me. It was just, I remember just sitting there, all of a sudden, I was just weeping like a fool, as loud as I could as a small child, and somehow I was up front. I don't remember much about all had happened. But God just came in his power. So I remember feeling that. I will never forget. To this day, I can feel specifically what that felt like. I remember that feeling of him inviting me to ask forgiveness of my sins, inviting me to trust what this message was I just heard. I remember that so clearly. But the thing was, is I found myself after that, not really understanding about this Holy Spirit. And I began finding myself in a place that even though I could recognize his voice, even though I could actually spot his presence, I don't know if I would have those same terms back then, I really wasn't seeing my life change much at all, right? Because I had gotten to a place in which that I had just closed off most of my life and not allowed him to access it. And so what I found myself doing is I started realizing that, okay, I'm in trouble, right? And the problem was, the reason I wasn't growing in the place of knowing God is because I wasn't responding. I wasn't responding to his voice, right? That's how you know someone. It's not when you just recognize it and identify it. It's when you respond to the voice, when you respond to their presence. And I wasn't doing that. And so I finally got to a place that, again, this Holy Spirit came along. He just kept inviting me. David, come back. And it's like I could just feel him. Come back. All you have to do is just be open up, confess your sins. And I just couldn't do it. And I had years where I was just in this spot where he was inviting me. And I tangibly knew his presence. I tangibly knew his words, but I couldn't do it. But finally, I yielded and I confessed my sins. And I'm telling you, once I responded to the Holy Spirit, it opened up everything. And then I began looking back in my life, and I think of all these moments where, and these sound kind of simple, but they were profound. The moment I remember when I first got to a place of like forgiving someone. And I said, God was saying, forgive him. I said, I can't. And he said, no, forgive him. And eventually, it changed me. And I remember one time when I decided, okay, for the rest of my life, whether I'm rich or poor, I'll start giving the first of what I've given to you first. That was like, whoa. But when I did it, I decided to do it. And I was expecting to have it be hard. But when I said yes, it opened things up. And every time I did that, it wasn't just that I got something done. It's that I came to a deeper relationship with God. He dwelled more in me. I knew who he was, right? I remember there was a spot where I had a friend of mine who was not doing well at all, and God was telling me to pray for him. And it wasn't just like, oh, be nice and pray. It was like, I need to step out, and I could feel this explosion going on inside of me. I was feeling compassion. I felt the Holy Spirit just almost propelling me, and I just didn't want to do it. It looked like it wasn't going to be good if I did it, but I just kept fighting him. And eventually I yielded and started praying for him, and it was kind of crazy. I began weeping and praying things and prophetically saying things, and I think it was one of the best nights of my life. You know, I thought, why did I resist? The Holy Spirit's always inviting us into these kind of places. I remember when I first closed my eyes and began saying, I'm going to quit singing about God. I'm going to actually sing directly to him. And it may sound simple now because I do it a lot, but back then it was like, oh boy, I don't know if I can do this. And it opened up. And so what I'm saying in that is it's this spot in which that when we begin understanding the Holy Spirit, we have to understand this is a relational thing. And the way we respond to him, not just recognize the voice, it's a spot of when you recognize the voice, the big question is, what are you going to do with the voice that's speaking to you? Now, in John 14, this is a great story because Jesus is speaking to disciples. Now, you have to realize how bizarre this is for them because they're like, here's the narrative. They don't want him to go. They have been trusting their life to Jesus. They've been dialoguing with him. They've been responding to him and stepping out. And as he shows them things, he does this. And now he's going to leave. And they're saying, don't leave. This is not going to work. And they're really afraid as he talks about leaving. And so the narrative is that they're thinking, wait a second, I've just now got this going with Jesus for after 3 years of listening to his voice and feeling safe in his presence and risking and stepping out, and now you're leaving. I can't do this without you. Who do I do this with? How do I do this? And so you can imagine how emotional that felt for him to say, I'm leaving. And so they begin saying things like, how are we going to find our way? Thomas said, and Philip said, wait a second, you know, just show us the Father. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so the in this whole text, it's like the people are saying, this isn't going to work. And Jesus was like, it's going to be great. And like, no, how can it be great that you leave? And if you can imagine them trying to figure out what he's saying in these verses, because they're, you know, we can see it from our perspective of knowing the whole story, but they're just new in this thing. And Jesus is leaving them and they're afraid. And here's what he says. Here he calms him down and tells him not to be afraid. He's told him he's going to go and prepare a place for them. All right. So, and they're thinking, well, that's great, but you go prepare a place for me, you're leaving me alone, right? And so he goes, if you love me, so he goes, keeps going back to this very basic thing, simple. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he lives with you and will be in you. All right? And they're thinking, okay, this thing, this advocate, this spirit of truth is going to actually live with me, but also going to be in me. And so as you imagine how they were thinking about that, and he goes on 18, says, I will not leave you as orphans, because that's what they're afraid. You're gonna leave, and I have nobody to trust, right? And I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, you can imagine what they're thinking, like, wait a second, you just said you're leaving, and now I'm going to come to you. And so they're trying to process all this. And he says, I'll come to you, and before long, the world will not see me more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas of Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These are the words, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So you can imagine them, their head just flying around trying to figure out what is going on here. But what they start understanding is, and what they understand very clearly, is that nothing's going to change. It's going to get better. And they can't comprehend how that could be if Jesus is leaving. And so he closes up the time by saying, all this I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, the narrative is that they're concerned they're going to lose their relationship with Jesus. And because of that, they're going to lose their relationship with God. And what he is saying is, you understand, when the Spirit comes, it's going to get better. And the Spirit, when it comes, our relationship will continue on. So we see in this verse that he's basically saying is, when the Spirit comes, it just makes what's happening now even better. And in John 14, we see the disciples, as they feared the relationship, but what they understood was, at Pentecost come, is that God has not changed. And my relationship with Jesus connect me to the Father. If I've seen Jesus, I've seen the Father. I know the Holy Spirit. And so what we see in Pentecost is we don't see a bump. We see the relationship with Jesus excelling, even though he was not visibly present, because this new thing happened. The Holy Spirit indwelt the believers. It's really wild to think about this. They're losing somebody who has been the closest person to them in their whole life, that their whole life was trusting in. And they're losing that person, and they have about a 3-day period of grieving and confusion. But then he shows up alive. That gives you a little burst. You think, okay. But then he takes off again. He ascends, you know. And you're thinking, wait a second. I thought he was going to stay around. And all of a sudden, but you have hope now. You're not grieving. And then in second chapter of Acts, Pentecost comes. People are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and guess what? They don't sit around saying, oh, I wish we had Jesus back. Oh, the good old days when Jesus was here. It's like what you see happening at Pentecost is they begin experiencing Jesus to a much higher level. They begin understanding Scripture in ways they never understood it before. They begin having a power and authority come out of them they've never seen before. They begin having the more intimate relationship with God you've never seen before. I mean, we see everything excelling because now the Holy Spirit has dwelled within them. And that's why Jesus said, it's going to be better that I go. Because now the Spirit can come. And what I'm just saying is we are in that time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd like to, it'd be cool to say I was with Jesus, a little selfie. Hey, me and Jesus, we're on the earth together. Yeah, I was with Jesus. Yeah, I know him. I walked around with him. This is what he looked like. It'd be great, right? Everybody like that, right? But quite honestly, you feel sorry for the people who died right before Jesus was risen from the dead and the Pentecost came. Because they didn't experience it to the fullest like we get to experience it. These disciples didn't grieve at all. They just were filled with joy because Jesus is absolutely alive. And he comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we look at this, is that when he showed up, they learned to listen to Jesus by interacting with him, recognizing his voice and interacting with him. And that's what caused them to know who God was. And the same is true for the Holy Spirit. If you want to know how to get to know Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, is you listen to the Spirit of God and you respond to it. You recognize it and you recognize the presence and you respond to it. The Holy Spirit is intimate and personal. All right? He's not this odd force out there. He is the Spirit. It says he's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Son. It's God's very Spirit. And the thing about it is, it's so intimate, he actually lives within us, as wild as that sounds. He literally dwells with us, and he will never leave us, right? He's our advocate. In other words, you know, Jesus, they get stuck, and he would always be for them. Here's what you need to know. God is for you. And when you open yourself, he's for you. We always fear that we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and he's going to be against us. He's for us. He's our advocate. He wants to help us. He sees the struggle we're going through and he wants to come in and bring his power, right? And then he's our parent. God is a God that's a father, right? It's a place in which that we look, and even the way Jesus cared about his disciples is this parental kind of, I want to help you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lead you along. All right? And so I wanted to start with just a few people coming up and just talking about their interactions with the Holy Spirit and kind of get a little more practical. I've kind of laid that base for you. I'm going to come back and say a few more things. I have Danielle. If you can come up, and the four of you come up, and we're going to have a little bit of an interview here.
So yeah, since a lot of this stuff can sound kind of weird when you talk about a personal interaction with this Holy Spirit, what does that actually look like to hear from God or feel God or see God move? We thought it would be really helpful to actually hear some stories. And so these three lovely people have agreed to share. So if you would introduce yourself and then just tell us about a time that you've experienced the Holy Spirit.
So I'm Todd Wells. For those of you who don't know me, I go to 9 a.m. 11 a.m. cuts a little too close to my nap time on Sundays. I want to share a time that I experienced a miracle while I was in college. I was taking a class that from day one, the professor, you know, said 100% of the grade is going to be this paper that's due at the end of the semester. It's going to be due at noon on such and such day. If you know it's even 1 minute late, you're going to get a 0% or whatever. And typically, I would wait until the absolute last minute to start on a project, obviously. But I didn't on this one. I did it several weeks in advance. I had it totally done, but then I forgot about it because I had it totally done, other than I was going to do one more read through and edit it and submit it. But it was off of my to-do list, and so I wasn't thinking about this paper at all. So the last day of the semester came, and I was moving off of campus into an apartment. And so Brittany and I, my wife now, she was helping me get this table at a Goodwill in a suburb of Wichita, Kansas, which is where we were in college. And to borrow my brother's truck to get this table, and I look at my phone, and I realize it's 11:45 on the day that the paper is due, and it just hit me that, like, there's no possible way that I was going to get this in. So I looked it up yesterday just to see how far everything was, and it would be a 30-minute drive from where we were in Mays, Kansas, to my brother's house, where my car was parked with my laptop in the car. And I mean, I was just panicked. This was like, obviously I was going to fail this class. So we start driving, because, I mean, that's the only thing we can do is start driving back to Wichita. And we start praying, and Brittany is much more confident in her prayer early on than I was. I was very panicked and not doing a very good job of having faith that God was going to make it work out. But as we were driving, I mean, it became clear that, like, time wasn't passing as it was supposed to. It was, I mean, we were making much, much better time than we should have. So we get to my brother's house, and he's not home, and so I can't use his Wi-Fi. So I have to get my laptop from my car and drive several more miles to the nearest Starbucks, and I was able to get on the internet and open up my laptop and open up the paper and do a read-through and edit it, and when I submitted it, it was 11:59 a.m. And there's just no possible way that I could have made that drive to there in that amount of time. So it was a miracle to have worked like that.
So how did that encounter then impact your understanding of who God is?
So I think first and foremost, it gave me a much stronger faith that, you know, like, true miracles like that can still happen and God can move in big ways. But I think it also helped me to do a better job of praying and continuing to pray, even if I, you know, don't feel like it at that moment. Because when I started praying on that drive, I was very, very panicked, and I didn't immediately know it was going to work out. And so it really helped me with that.
I'm Mike Corum, and I'm going to tell a story from a little bit longer back. This was early 1985, and I was sitting in my reading chair, and I was doing a Bible study. I read the Bible for a little bit, and then I prayed for a little bit, and then I was silent. And for, I think, the first time, I heard a voice actually in my head that wasn't my own inner conversation, that wasn't my own inner voice. And it was the voice of the Spirit. I didn't really fully grasp it at that time. He was telling me about the place of music in my life. And you've seen those pictures of the throne that, you know, the throne in, of your life or the throne in your heart, that the question is Jesus on that throne or are you on that throne? Well, in my case, music was on that throne. Music was the most important thing over God. And note, I was reading my Bible and praying, but still music was still the most important thing. And so he's telling me that I have to do something about that. I had to break the hold that music had on me. And then, and this happened over several days, and then he was silent. And then I went on for several more days with silence. And I knew what I had to do. I had a lot of record albums, that's vinyl albums, that's how we used to have music in those days. LPs, it stands for long play. And I had many of them. So I remember the day I got out a big green garbage bag, and I got on the floor with all my peaches crates. It's another reference to the past, but with all my carriers of my record albums. And I started going through them one by one, and some I would put in the garbage bag and others I would put back in the crate. And I was getting pretty clear leading, and if there was something that I felt like was on the edge, I just put it in the bag. And I remember dragging it, it was pretty heavy, out to the curb to put in the trash. And didn't feel good going out the door. I mean, it really had a hold on me. And then when I came in, I remember feeling lighter and having more freedom. It was pretty immediate. I was going to say something else, and then I just dropped it. But anyway, I had this fear, I think, that God was going to take something away from me, but he didn't. He gave me more freedom. It was like he gave me more music. I played in a lot of bands. I listened to a lot more different kinds of music, and I just had great freedom in that. And I think that sometimes we think if we let God in more, he'll take something away, but he doesn't. He actually makes something richer. On a technical note about the way I hear God in my head, it really is a voice in my head. It's kind of on the back left side, and it's quiet and sure, but with a lot of space around it, which is, I have come to think of as kind of peace, that space around it. I'm sure different people experience it different ways, but that's sort of how I experience it. Sometimes it's very short, like no. I get a lot of no. Or wait. But even then, it's very comforting.
So when you first started kind of hearing that, having that sensation of sound in your head, did you know right away, oh, that's God? Or was there a process behind it?
I didn't know for sure. I just thought it was different. And it was a bit of a leap for me. I mean, when I was putting those albums in the trash bag, I thought, I'm nuts. This is not right. You know, this doesn't feel good. But, you know, over the years, I think it's become more clear, and that space around his voice has become bigger and easier to distinguish.
This is Katie. She did not introduce herself last service.
I realize that. I did realize that, like, as I sat down. Hi, everyone. I'm Katie. Me again. My story is a little bit different because I'm going to tell you about how, like, I met Holy Spirit and the difference that he makes in my life, like, now in the way that I live. I didn't know God growing up. I accepted Jesus as an adult. And like I said at first service, I'm not sure if this is theologically correct, but kind of my experience, so I'm going to say it anyway. I knew that when I accepted Jesus, I was saved and I was going to heaven, but I really still didn't have a personal relationship with him. I didn't know what that was supposed to look like or feel like. I didn't feel like I had any power or really like there was any difference in the way that I was living, honestly, except for I was now reading scripture. Now I was reading scripture and I could see all of the ways that I was falling short. I could see all of the expectations I thought that Jesus had for me and my behavior and the way that I spoke and the way that I dressed and the way that I thought and the things that I did. And I realized that I really just sucked at it. I was not good. Nothing that I could do was going to help me live up to this standard. So what would happen would be like when I was about to sin, now I would have this like internal pause is basically the way that I would say that Holy Spirit speaks to me. Like a minute, not a minute, but like a second to think before I speak or act or whatever. So before I had a relationship with him, I would just bulldoze right over that pause and do whatever it is that I was going to do anyway, because I didn't know how to do it any differently, if that makes any sense. So one of two things would happen when I would bulldoze over Holy Spirit. I would either, like, after I did it, recognize, oh, man, that was the wrong thing to do. Okay, next time I'm going to do better. I'm going to read more scripture. I'm going to pray more, whatever. I'll pull myself up on my bootstraps and, like, do this thing that God wants me to do. But more often it was, oh, you messed it up again. You are a bad girl, basically, is what I believed about myself. You are unworthy of love. You clearly, Jesus makes no difference for you because you're just bad, which I now know was the voice of the enemy, but I didn't know that then. So about 6 years ago, I was really tired and fed up with the way that I was living. It was really difficult. So I went on a solitude retreat, ready to do battle with God, like literally confess every sin that I could ever remember, anything to just get it all on the table so that we could move forward from this point. So Saturday afternoon came because I was struggling to do this. Saturday afternoon came, I'm in my room, I'm kneeling by my bed, and I feel like I am sweating blood like Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. I am anxious, I am scared, I'm afraid that God is going to deal with me harshly because that's how I feel like I deserve to be dealt with. So all of those things are going on. I'm like terrified and saying, okay, I start to pray. Like, okay, God, okay, let's just do this and get it over with. And he said to my heart, well, I mean, we can do this if you want to, but we don't have to. And I was totally shocked by that. I was like, what do you mean we don't have to? Like, what is this? And at that time, Holy Spirit, like, fell on me, like David was saying. He fell on me, and I experienced this supernatural peace that pulled me out of this place of anxiety. And then Holy Spirit started to teach me about the things that I was reading in the scripture that I didn't understand. He started to teach me that Jesus' sacrifice was good for me, like once and for all. Every sin, past, present, and future, was covered by his blood, and that I was a good girl. And any voice that I was hearing that was telling me differently was not from him, and that I was to totally disregard it. And so now I am washed clean in the blood of Jesus. I am his daughter. I am a good girl. And when I experience that internal pause now, because it's not like I don't struggle with sin anymore. My struggle is totally different. I will say that. But now when I experience that pause and still make the choice to run right over what Holy Spirit said, now, instead of beating myself up or trying harder or listening to the voice that would tell me that I'm bad, Holy Spirit, I can actually hear him reminding me, oh, hey, you forgot who you are. You forgot what I did for you. I love you. This is okay, actually. You are forgiven. I'm going to transform your character, and that is exactly what he's been doing. He's been transforming me. And so now I'm grateful. God isn't mad at me. He loves me, and we're having a great relationship.
So what would you say to encourage someone who kind of is like, oh, sure, that's Katie. That happens to her. I don't get that kind of interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't you hear me say I thought I was bad? So if anyone is feeling that like that, like I have a huge story that I'd be happy to share with you. But I really did. I was convinced that there was no sacrifice good enough to bring me back, that it was my works that was going to have to like make me acceptable to God, because what I had done and continued to do was terrible, way terrible. So if that's you, I just want to encourage you that there's absolutely nothing that you can do that will separate you from the love of God. And he loves to show us that.
Good stuff. Thanks. A couple things I just want to kind of help us with is really the first part is really recognizing that God loves to communicate to you, and he loves to be present with you. And knowing that, sure, we have lots of things. We're in a war zone. We have the enemy, other things. But to know that's his heart, that's the starting spot. And once you start there, you'll be amazed as you begin just understanding that how God speaks to you. And a couple things I think could be helpful in this. When you begin opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit and saying, okay, this is how I relate to God. I respond. I welcome his presence. I want to hear him speak, and I want to respond to him. You can expect it to go a couple places. The Holy Spirit works in you and through you. In other words, he will go down to places that you need help in. He'll go to places that you're stuck in. He'll go down to places that you're ashamed of, and places that are hurts that need to be healed. He goes to places of damage. He loves to go to those places. You understand, and he's gracious. He doesn't force his way, and he comes alongside of us. But he also, you can expect him to start coming through you, right? And he wants to actually allow God him to come through you. Even in your process, as God is going in you, right as that's happening, he wants to start letting you love other people and have his love come through you. And so understand the feeling oftentimes as he's doing these two things is there's a feeling of inviting. He's always like, that's what you see in scripture all the time, come to me. I long for to take you in. Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden. He would always see people and have a heart for them to come to him. And he loved it when the most broken person ran and came to him. I mean, he loves that. And so it's shown in the story of the prodigal son. We see this heart of God of longing to have this relationship and wanting him just to come and just be right where you're at and depend on him. But there's also times that when he comes, it feels a little bit more like a challenge. There's a spot where it's a little bit like what Mike was saying. There's a spot where you know what you're supposed to do, and it's like, I've said it, and he's just kind of quiet. Like, well, let's just wait for you to decide on this, you know? And there's a kind of a challenge, like, do you want to do this? You know, I, I remember that many times where God would have something in front of me, and after I pushed it away so many times, he'd just like challenge me, and he lovingly challenged me, but he would just challenge me. And every time I took the challenge, he came alongside me. And this other spot is where this word convict is kind of feels negative, but it's really a matter. He turns on the lights. He lets you see darkness in you, and he also convicts you of what is true. Like Katie was, he was convicting Katie of, this is who you are. You know, that's conviction. But he convicts us when we're stuck in our sin and saying, this, I want you just to confess. And so when I've had time after time where I've been hiding my sin, I always feel this place of light coming in, and I always feel an invitation saying, come to me. I want to help you. That's the reason I'm pointing it out to you. He also leads us, he guides us, he teaches us. He literally has this process that he helps you understand. And so if you look in the second chapter of Acts Beyond, you say, my goodness, talk about some teaching. You see people just understanding the concepts of God and understanding how to make decisions and turning to God in decisions as the church is forming in crazy ways because they had the Holy Spirit and they were depending upon the Holy Spirit when they got to places of choices and he directed them and guided them. And then he comes and empowers you. You know, this spot where some of you are at this place where you just say, you don't get it, I'm just barely hanging on. That's a really good spot because that's what he says, I come in your weakness. He loves to come into places of weakness and bring his empowerment, both in places of giving you empowerment to go let him in, empowerment in your inner being, but also he wants to have God's power come through you as well. And so what I just say in that is that he does this in lots of different ways. He's very creative. But you know, sometimes we hear this place of voice and it's kind of freaky, like, David, I'm the Holy Spirit. Go here. You know, you're like, that's, you know, you think, I don't think I could hear that. And I probably couldn't either, right? But he knows me. And when he communicates, voice means his presence and his words are really, what we're going to say, it's his way of communicating. Presence communicates a lot, right? If you're in the presence, you get to know him a lot when they're present, right? Words communicate, but he's so creative in the way he speaks to us in places of words is that, for some reason, not switching the next slide, I'm not sure why, but there's one more slide next. Click it. And so this is what I encourage you, just as we're kind of, just practically as we're closing up here, is understand that he sees the whole you. And sometimes there's spiritual teaching that the body is carnal and not away from God and the spirit is here and we have to just, you know, shut down the body and check out our minds so we can get to the spirit. That's just wrong, right? Just wrong theology. The way God works with us, he works with this very creative person he's made, which is made up physically and mentally and emotionally. And he works through all those things to communicate. It's not this thing out here. It's a spot. Mike was trying to get an idea of how it felt, but even that, he was using his mind to think about it. He was using his emotions. He was using theology. He's putting a lot of things together to even come up with that because that's how God works. And so physically, sometimes you guys need to understand, physically, when you begin experiencing the Holy Spirit, sometimes it has a physical manifestation. You know, I've had numbers of times where physically I find myself in places in which that I recognize the Spirit of God, and I often will even tremble sometimes, and sometimes I will feel physically like not a bad way, but a kind of weight on my chest, and I can tangibly feel things physically, right? And many times that's how God will even commune to us when we're trying to have him come through us, is he'll give us places that we physically feel things that are in another person. So he communicates with all parts, right? I've had times that physically, I'll just tell you a stupid story. I had all these friends around me, and they always wanted me to be slain in the spirit. And I thought, you don't know me, I don't get slain in the spirit, right? So I snuck off to this one guy that was this really guy, from an evangelist from another country, and this guy was like Holy Spirit, you know, great big guy, and somehow there's this small little meeting and no one showed up. So he said, he was praying for people, and everybody prayed for him, he'd drop on the ground. I thought, I'm just kind of like, oh, there's no one around. I'm like, I'm gonna try this. And so so it's so funny because I'm determined. I knew that if I just hardened my heart, I mean, God's not gonna do that, but I'm saying, I'm gonna stay halfway open. The guy seems to love Jesus and knows the scripture, he's not manipulating. And so I walk up there, and son of God, I just dropped, and I thought to myself, I have no idea what that was, but I knew it was God saying, I can do what I want, and I can humble you anytime I want. And it was really not bad. It wasn't condemning. It was just really good. And I just thought to myself, that's God communicates physically? Yeah, he did it with me, you know. And many other times I've experienced that same thing where God comes and it affects my physical body. But he also communicates through our mind. The idea that we have to check out our mind is just not biblical. He wants to renew our minds. He wants to think in our minds. He wants us to look at Scripture and say, what does that mean? And how do I adjust to that? And how do I see that? And then begin, have you ever had the times where all of a sudden you start seeing how you look at Scripture and things come together, the dots align? That's your mind. The place of helping you understand the way you see the world, he begins shaping the way you see the culture. You look through different lenses. That's tied to your mind. He speaks to us through these things. Many times he'll give you thoughts and images that you need to say, which is all what? Through your mind. So these are all ways. And for also this area of emotion, you know, for me, that's a big one, right? I cry all the time. I used to be humiliated, but now it's so good, I just don't care. But the reality of it is I don't cry because I'm sad. Every time I start crying, it's because I feel grateful that I know God sees me. And when I even feel that, there's no other response. I mean, God of the universe sees me and wants to be around me, and he cares about me. There's other times I cry because I feel burdens for people that I don't really even know what they are. I just feel emotions towards people, and it's a different kind of thing. It's not sadness, but it's identification. But he speaks to me about people through my emotions. You know, and there's a spot in which sometimes you have a heaviness on you that's really good, that you sense the weight of God. It's an emotional kind of feeling you have in a room. And you hear people say, you could cut it with a knife, you could feel it in the room. You know, the Spirit can come, you can feel it, right, emotionally, and even physically sometimes. And sometimes, I don't know how many times I've, the Holy Spirit come, you know what, he doesn't tell me any information. He just gives me peace and safety. And rest. That's it. And I think, I like this. This is good. All right. So let me just close this. Those are all ways of helping recognize, and we need to get better and better at that. But the way you'll recognize more and more and more and is when you start responding to it. If you try to say, well, I'm going to recognize that, it's like trying to figure out who's in the hallway without never ever going there, right? You have to, if you want to know God, you have to start responding to what the Spirit asks you. And he'll never exasperate you, but he'll help you to take steps and the invitations he gives you. So here's my, worship team can come on up. This week, when you feel, even today, when you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, take it in and welcome it into your heart. Now, what do I mean by take it in? I mean, I found oftentimes people feel the Holy Spirit and run. You know, like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling something. I'm just saying is stay there. We've had people in our church who have left for like, you know, they've been here for 6 months and every week they shoot out because they start feeling the Holy Spirit and they run. And they don't realize that he follows them. But the reality of it is the good thing is that if he's talking to you, just stay there and say, I want you, God. And because we have to welcome into our heart. And then if God speaks to you, listen to him. Like listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. Believe and do what it says. In other words, many of you have simple little things that you know God's just lovingly inviting you. Say, do you trust me? I want you to do that. And you think, oh, I can't. So we just push it back and we think, tell me something else. Give me another instruction. And he's like, no, just that simple thing. And if you want more to open up to you, take the simple thing that's in front of you. He's never exasperated in giving this huge list or never makes you jump off the cliff. Well, sometimes he does, but he stays with you then, but he convinces you. But as a rule, it's not that way. And he basically says, okay, I just want to teach you, and it's this one thing. And we say, well, give me something else. No, it's this. And because as you trust him in that, it won't take something away from you. It'll bring you into another relationship and a deeper relationship. And then you begin loving his voice. Then you begin loving his presence because you know that's where there's life. Would you stand?